Welcome to our Christmas Eve service. Tonight's service is a service of lessons and carols. And it has a certain history to it. It was drawn up originally by the Archbishop Benson when he was at the Bishop of Truro at that cathedral. But it has kind of taken on a certain form at King's College Chapel in Cambridge in 1918 by the then Dean, the very Reverend Eric Milner White. And as you're coming in, it's the reason it's called a lesson or a service of lessons and carols is pretty obvious. We're going to be working through a lot of scripture, and you will be responding to that scripture with appropriate carols and hymns from the hymn book. One of the things I would say is stay focused. In other words, a lot of words and statements will be said tonight, either through Bob and I bringing you the Word of God or in your response with the hymns. So put other things out of your minds, whether you've got some party you're going to tonight or whether you didn't get the right Christmas gift. Put all of that out of your minds and let's focus again on what Christmas is about. The entry into the world of the Christ, Jesus our Lord. Bob and I stand here in robes not to draw attention to ourselves, but to draw attention to the Word of God. We will not have a lot of prompts or introductions. We're just going to stand and direct you to the Scriptures and read those and be pretty straightforward there. But we want to draw your attention to that. There is a lot of singing tonight. Don't feel compelled to sing all. In other words, if your voice is tiring, feel free to not sing. But stay in the service. Stay and listen to the others singing around you. And listen to the message of these great hymns and carols. We won't stand on every hymn. You'll see the asterisks where we will ask you to stand. And afterwards, after the benediction and the closing of the worship aspect of this service, there will be the lighting of candles and the singing of Silent Night. Can you think of anything else to add?
That the George young ladies have got a prelude before you start reading.
And yes, we have the privilege tonight, as we will now prepare for this worship service. The young ladies of the George family are going to lead us in a prelude. thank you so much. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Thanks be to God, who has given us the indescribable gift of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the message in music already, to sing Alleluia, to say praise to you, our God. That is what we desire to do this night, O Lord. And would you be pleased to look with favor upon us and fulfill that old prayer of the ancient or the older hymn, to come to us, to descend to us, we pray, to cast out our sin and enter in and be born in us today. O Lord, meet with us, we pray, at this time. In Christ's name, amen. The Word of God from John chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Please turn in your hymn books to hymn number 162, and we'll stand and sing Of the Father's Love Begotten. Number 162.
Thank you. seated, please.
From Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse 1, we have from the very beginning the first prophecy of our Savior. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Turn in your hymn books to hymn number 230, "Thou Who Wast Rich Beyond All Splendor." And you remain seated, please.
from Isaiah the prophet. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God, let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Hear Isaiah the prophet again. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Let's remain standing, remain seated as we sing 194, O come, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
from Micah chapter 5, starting at verse 2, the prophecy of the actual location where the Christ would be born. "But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace." Turn in your hymn books, please, and we'll remain seated as we sing number 201, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
God in the Gospel of Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." Let's stand for hymn 195, "Joy to the World." 195.
From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, hear the Word of God. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. And then from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Let's turn in our hymn books. We'll remain seated as we sing the hymn number 213, What Child Is This? Number 213.
Thank you.
the gospel from Luke. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Let's stand now as we sing selection 203, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." Luke chapter 2 verse 6, the English Standard Translation gives us the fact, misses the poetry, and therefore I think misses the reminder to us of the fullness of what gospel is all about. It says something like, "And it was time to her to give birth." Listen to the King James. It says, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. The days were fulfilled. The days were completed. The baby is ready. That imagery about the baby being ready, about the baby growing in the womb until that due date is right upon it, that imagery is used, I think, at least 5 times in the New Testament. Briefly, here's the first one. The coming of the very kingdom of God is like the coming of a baby. When a baby is conceived in the womb, that baby is already in the world. No matter what the nations think, the baby is already on the stage. But it's not yet ready to take its final form. And that is the way God brings His kingdom into the world. This is the way the Apostle Paul, using a version of this very word, this idea of, and the days were accomplished, the days were fulfilled, Paul uses that to describe that first coming of Christ as the King with His kingdom into the world. Twice Paul says, and in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. Now, he doesn't mean there, the fullness of time in the sense that the 9 months are over and now it's time for the baby to be born. No, Paul means in the bigger sense of the cosmic waiting for this fullness of time for the Son of God to come into the world. We've been reading about these passages from the Old Testament telling us about the preparations that were being made. But even here in Paul's day, the Roman Empire was ready. The Roman Empire, with its power, which it used to exalt itself, was used by God and was purposed by God to set up a transportation system of roads in the ancient world unparalleled. With its power, it granted safe travel for people. In those days, there was a common language, this Koine Greek. Language of the marketplace, so that people were familiar with the terms for redemption and buying. And the synagogue system spread all over the Roman Empire so that the Apostle Paul and Silas and Timothy, they could go anywhere and find a synagogue and enter in and declare, and thus it has been written. It's a fullness of time. All that was lacking was a message. And you heard what the message is. The message arrives on a night like this. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. There's the message. But the coming of the kingdom. The kingdom came into the world like a baby. Not in its final form, but waiting for the final form. Number two, if the kingdom is like that, the cross is like this. Jesus, in John's Gospel in the upper room, says to His disciples in anticipation of His cross, you are soon going to be weeping like a woman who is about to give birth to a baby. But that weeping is going to be replaced with joy. This is what the woman will say. Ah, child has been born into the world. So Jesus describes His cross as something like the pain of childbirth. It is hard and it hurts, but afterwards there will come joy. We could say the full days of the kingdom are at hand, but they're going to be painful days for the Son of God. The kingdom is at hand. The announcement that Jesus is the Christ, the King, is at hand. But you know, when He's first recognized as King, it's in a labor-like situation, travail. It's on the cross. That's when they first declare He's the King. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. But He's hanging on the cross,
to accomplish atonement. The days are fulfilled. The king is bursting into the world. But first there is the labor of the cross. And then after he has accomplished redemption and the washing away of sins, providing the blood to cancel out all of our transgressions, then there is the joy of resurrection. As he says to his disciples, it's like that woman greeting the new baby. See, it comes like a baby. See how the Christmas reminds us of all of these aspects of the work of God for our redemption. There's a third one. All who believe in him are filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, this word that I've been drawing our attention to, in the days were fulfilled, the days were accomplished, the days were complete. Luke finds this as an interesting and favorite term in his second volume, the book of Acts. 9 times he uses it in that volume. 7 times out of the 9, it is referring to people being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, use that image of the woman and the days are being completed, and think of yourself as a believer who hears and receives the Holy Spirit of God. And you know what happened? Every time people were filled with the Holy Spirit, they had to speak. They had to give thanks. They had to sing. They had to give praise. That's what happens. The presence of the Holy Spirit becomes like that fullness of time where the baby must come forth. Here's the fourth one out of the 5. I sometimes wonder if the Apostle Paul in Galatians 4:19 is telling us sanctification is like that process. The days are being fulfilled when then holiness will be born out. Doesn't Paul say there to the Galatians, I am in labor over you, describing himself as if he's a woman, I'm in labor over you until Christ is formed in you. That sanctification stuff, that's so slow, isn't it? Huh? It's like, oh, you're going to have a baby, but it's going to be 9 months from now. Hey, you people, you're holy in the sight of God, but my, is it taking a long time for that to come to pass. Huh? You've heard me say this. So many of you have heard me say this. We've said it privately to each other. I said, I can't find this anywhere in the New Testament where it says that in the fullness of time you will have victory over that problem. But I do believe that the Apostle Paul is giving us a hint here. There's something about our ability to wrestle with hard things that when we first hear about them, we think, this is not going to be possible. But in the fullness of time, when the days are accomplished, this sovereign God so arranges things that the fullness is there. You might say, and the new birth of holiness comes to pass in your life. Here's the fifth one. The last one from Romans chapter 8. Boy, we've got the kingdom of God, we've got the cross, we've got the Holy Spirit, we've got the sanctification, and now the Apostle Paul in Romans 8 says, and the whole creation is like this. The whole creation is groaning together in the pains of childbirth. All of these snowstorms in Minnesota, all of these hurricanes and these earthquakes, Jesus had said in the gospel, this isn't the sign of the end coming. Why, this is like just childbirth. Something painful is happening, but all of the creation is looking forward. The creation is groaning as it is looking forward to the coming of liberty and new creation in the victorious Christ when he returns upon the clouds of heaven. And Paul says, and we who have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, we're groaning too. We're laboring, waiting for our days to finally be accomplished, that we should be delivered out of this body of dust into the body of immortality, groaning for the resurrection. See, Christmas is about the coming of the Christ as a baby in the world. But that imagery is the sum total of what the good news is all about. And I'm declaring to you tonight that when the days are accomplished, it is because God is acting. And that is one reason why we call this good news. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Oh, amen. Please, let's believe that together. Yep.
Word of God from Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary and his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Let's turn in our hymn books to sing hymn number 226, "As with Gladness, Men of Old." You can remain seated.
And the Apostle Paul, anticipating the victory of the Christ, says in his letter to the Philippians, "Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others, having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen. Selection 208, "O Come All Ye Faithful." Let's stand as we sing. And remain standing for the benediction, please. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirits. Behold, he is coming with the clouds. Amen. Be seated, please.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.